I'd like you to take your Bibles and go with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we are preaching through the book of Acts. And we're just going along. And I want to just say this to you. I don't know about you on your end, but for me as a pastor, as I've been preparing these messages, this is a ride, man. I'm telling you, what a ride this study is. This is an action-packed, it's not a movie. It was real life. This is real life. And these are the acts of the apostles, the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. It's what the first century church did, the very first things, their first missionary journeys. You know, the church coming into being, the gospel going to the Gentiles. And we see there, along their journeys and along the missionary journeys, the challenges that they have, and we also see the great victories. Now, at first, when I looked at this segment of Scripture, I wanted to preach it all as one message because it flows all as one. But I saw two real good divisions in it. Next week, we're going to look at what happens in the jail. I think probably one of the most significant experiences of all of the book of Acts, when Paul and Silas were singing praises to God and what happened in the jail and what happened to the jailer and what happened to his family. And we see some amazing theological points about salvation. But I want us to look at the first part, of chapter 16, but the first part in this story, midway through chapter 16. And I've titled it Satanic Opposition. I know you came today to hear a sweet little, nice little safe message. That's not what you get in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is, like I said, it's full of drama. It's full of spiritual battling, amazing things happening. And, you know, as I looked at this passage this week, I'm like, what is the main theme? What's the main focus here? And it came to me as I was reading it, and as the Holy Spirit, I think, helped me to understand it through reading God's Word, that we see a great satanic attack, and we see it constantly with these apostles on their missionary journeys. And so I want to deal with this satanic opposition in this passage, beginning in verse 16 of Acts chapter 16. So let's stand together. We're going to read verses 16 through 24 for today's message. Satanic opposition. How to spot it? What is it telling us? What's involved in it? Verse 16. Now, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave. You realize that human trafficking has always been a part of humanity? A sad, disgusting, horrible, sinful, demonic part of human existence. But it's always been around. Slavery, human trafficking, all peoples at some point in time have experienced this demonic experience in some way or another. And believe it or not, many, 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 many people throughout world history have been the subject of human trafficking. And so this woman was being trafficked. And they were met by this female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She was possessed by a demonic spirit. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. A great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting. Now, When you hear this, you're going to think, this is odd. But look at what she says in the shouting. She says, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Hey, this is a demon-possessed woman, and yet she's declaring the truth. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so aggravated. He became so annoyed. He was so done with it that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners, I know the Bible uses the word owners here because it reflects exactly, they own human beings. But these were human traffickers in modern day terms. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully, and in essence, to guard them with his life. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Let's pray together. So, Heavenly Father, we look at your word this morning and we see what our brothers in Christ went through early on. Your word is living and powerful and speaks to us through your Holy Spirit today. We see not only a narrative here, we not only are reading history, but we're reading the very Word of God. And your Word has application to our lives as we see not only doctrinal issues, but we see the power of Jesus Christ, and we see also the powerful forces of evil that are always hounding the people of God. Help us to recognize these, to do battle the right way, as we're going to see next week, and to understand that we're in it. We're in this battle as long as we're in this life. But greater is he that is in you than he who's in the world. So thank you for that promise. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So they're facing satanic opposition everywhere they go. And it seems like each time this opposition manifests itself in different ways. But don't be fooled. It may come from different directions, different ways. It still has the ultimate goal to infuriate, to defeat the Christian message, to oppose the work of God, and even kill the messengers of God. I want you to notice in this next slide, as we put it up last week, but I want you to see the second missionary journey that they are on. It may be a little hard for you to see it. You can go to the back of your Bibles if you have any kind of study Bible. Most Bibles, even if they're not what we call study Bibles, will have the maps. And you will see in the second missionary journey, as you look all the way to the upper left, you see the Black Sea, you see Thrace, you see Macedonia. So kind of in the lower right of Macedonia, you see Neapolis and you see Philippi. And this is where they were, in that orange section there. They were in this part of Europe and Greece, and they were in literally Macedonia, and this is where they were at. They were in Philippi. And they were on this missionary journey. So I want you to notice some things about this in their journey and this satanic opposition that they faced and what we faced. Here's the first thing I want you to notice. Number one, satanic opposition is inevitable when living a life of obedience. Let no one deceive you, my friends. If you are living a godly life for Jesus, you will encounter persecution, you will encounter opposition, and it will be of a satanic nature. Now, I'm not saying that you will be overcome by it, because the Bible teaches us, and we're going to look at some of that next week in greater detail, about the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. They're not carnal. They're not man-made. They are powerful for disarming the enemies of God, disarming these arguments and high arguments of pretension that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And we are victorious in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. So I am not saying today that you are going to be the victim of a satanic attack and that you will be defeated every day of your life. To the contrary, what I am saying is that you are in a spiritual battle as a Christian. And you have all the tools that you need to be victorious in this life. But do not negate or neglect the fact that satanic attack is coming. And it continues to come. And yes, you have moments of mountaintop experiences, but you live in the valley, and just know that it's coming. So don't let anybody deceive you, any preacher deceive you, and tell you that when you become a Christian, everything is just hunky-dory and beautiful and nothing bad ever happens to you. That's not scriptural. Just ask Paul and Silas how their backs were feeling at that point in time. So satanic opposition is inevitable, meaning that it will occur when living a life of obedience. Look at what 2 Timothy 3:12 says. Look what Paul says to Timothy. It says this, In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, persecution varies in its degrees. You know, there's physical persecution, there is spiritual persecution. They were facing it all. And at some point, and you know, Paul was martyred. He faced martyrdom at what, you know, eventually happened. But, you know, most of us, a lot of us have not shed any blood for Christ in persecution. We may have shed some blood in serving Christ, you know, in doing a mission for Him or what have you, but it may not have been as the result of persecution. But I can guarantee you this, we're all persecuted spiritually, and the enemies of the cross and the enemies of the gospel will come after you, especially if you're living an obedient life. See, Paul and Silas, as we noticed last week, and Luke was with them, they were prevented from going into Asia where they wanted to go, and instead went to Europe. The Holy Spirit prevented them. It said the Spirit of Jesus kept them from going, and so they were obedient and sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. They didn't just discount God's leadership and say, well, I don't care what God wants. This is what I want to do. This is my passion, and I'm less passionate about going over there, so therefore I'm going to go and do what I want to do first and foremost. That's the first place they wanted to go, but they were prevented, and so they were obedient. And so what I want you to see here is that it's inevitable when living a life of obedience that you're gonna be in it. And if you seek to live a godly life, listen to me, young marrieds, older marrieds for that matter. If you value the institution of marriage, and you have some standards about your relationship and how you live your life, and so forth and so on, and you take a stand for that at work and among friends and family, let me just say this to you. Don't be surprised when someone comes against you and tries to destroy your marriage because they're jealous of what you have or what you are because you're being obedient to God. You know, one of the things on social media that leftists and that even so-called Christians love to exploit is what a lot of people call the Billy Graham rule, or recently the Mike Pence rule. It's something that I've been practicing the day I got into ministry. My pastor taught me this, and the concept is for a married man that you should not be best friends with someone of the opposite sex. If you're a man, it would be a woman, other than your wife. And you should be very careful, and not trying to be legalistic about it, but you should be careful, you know, out of respect for that other person and out of respect for your marriage and out of understanding that the spirit is willing but the flesh can be weak. And not to put yourself, the Bible says there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality among Christians. And so, you know, you should be careful as to, I don't go on a date with other women. You say, well, what's wrong with having a business meal with a woman, just you and another woman, Pastor? It's a date. You say, no, it's not. Well, then, and I've been persecuted for it in that way. I've been laughed at. I've been mocked and said, look at that guy. He can't even control himself at a luncheon. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with respecting and obeying my marriage covenant and valuing the institution of marriage. Now, you don't have to agree with me. That's fine. You can be wrong if you want to, but you don't have to agree. It's free country. It's the same way in raising your children. It's the same way. I remember I got involved in a hunting club years ago with guys that I didn't know. I needed to be able to hunt on some private land. Found the place. They all claimed to be Christian, said it was family-oriented. And for the most part, it was. And I'm not saying that just because they might have imbibed in a little bit of alcohol or something here and there, they weren't Christians. But I remember one night, as clear as day, man, we're sitting around the campfire, and one of the buddies had legal moonshine. And he goes, hey, preacher! How about a little bit, man? He wanted to give me some. I said, John, you know, man, I don't drink. And he goes, oh, come on, there's nothing wrong with it. And he started messing with me, and I said, John, you can complain. You can't belittle me enough to do it. I'm just not going to do it. And then when he got sobered up the next day, he said, I'm offended that you think I'm some kind of heathen. I said, I didn't say that. I just said I didn't want to drink. So, you say, well, is that persecution? Well, sometimes people can go after you and make your life miserable for a long time, or try to. So, it's inevitable when living a godly life that you're going to face some persecution along the way. The second thing I want you to see is this. It's inevitable while going. Now, listen to me here. While going to a place of worship and prayer, that you're going to experience it. Notice I put in red and I emphasize the word going. It says here, once when we were going to the place of prayer. If you don't believe in satanic activity, just get in the habit of going to church on a regular basis and decide to go one morning and get in the car and see if you don't have an argument. Or, you know, I tell you, when I was, when my kids were little, I remember we went through a period that I told my wife, I said, I hate Saturday nights. And between Saturday night and Sunday morning, I mean, we're going to have it out with the kids at some point. And then you come to church, and it's not that you're mad at other people, but you're just mad. You're just like, You're just like, is this what coming to church is all about all the time? I mean, we had four fights with the kids. You said fights, you know. I mean, we had our little grandson this morning, and his gee Penny said to him, "Hey, Caleb, it's time to brush your teeth." And he goes, "Why?" Now listen to me. I don't know about your house, but that's how the fight starts in our house. Excuse me? Why? You don't ask why when we give you a command. Especially like that. You do. Because this isn't a democracy. This is a dictatorship. So it's inevitable while going to a place of worship. Don't. I just find this so applicable to our lives today that Paul and Silas were on their way, and this is when the spiritual attack started. And it's not uncommon for you and me while we're on the way going, obeying God, that we don't have some kind of spiritual attack that comes at us. And it's inevitable that we face that. So don't think it's strange that you're the only person that has to deal with issues from week to week just to get to the place of worship and prayer. It happens. It happens all of us. Just a show of hands now. I'm not asking you to confess it. It happened today. But have you ever come to church after you and your family had an issue on that particular day or the night before? And the rest of you are perfect. Come talk to me about how you did it. But it's inevitable. In other words, Satan will oppose you when you're obeying God, and he will try to get at your spirit. Paul says was annoyed. It just was irritating him after a while he was presenting the gospel, to discourage you, distract you, get your focus off of what you need to be focused on. The third thing I want you to see is this, is satanic opposition is often loud, mixed with some truth, and relentless. Mixed with some truth. It's often loud. Look at what it says here. It says, she followed Paul in verse 17, and the rest of us shouting. Now you say, what is wrong? Well, Paul and them, listen, I'll just be honest with you. While I'm preaching, if you're shouting at me, even if you're shouting scripture, you're gonna annoy me. Right? And you're a distraction. And that's what was happening. She was a distraction. But notice how nefarious Satan is. Satan knows scripture. And he can use it. It's not that the message was wrong. But she was being used of Satan to keep people from hearing the gospel and what was being said. And she was loud. And then it's relentless. It said that she was saying that she kept this up for many days. If you've ever been in a spiritual battle, you think when you encounter that situation and you're in the middle of it, there are times that you think, man, it can't get any worse than this. And you wake up the next day and it is. And it's worse. And it's bad again. In September, we were going through something behind the scenes and, you know, a little bit about it, but I'm not going to go into details. And I didn't think it could get any worse than that. And I walk into the office, and I have a discussion with my secretary, and it got worse. And I remember the feeling that I had then to say that, okay, well, I didn't die from this other stuff. I mean, it wasn't that. It was like this. It was like, I'm so tired of what we're going through, and I'm like a dead man. So you can't hurt a dead man. So just keep piling on. Might as well bring it all now. That was my thought process. And it's often loud. Notice in America today, the people who are screaming the loudest. It's often very, very loud, and it's very emotional. And it's mixed with some truth. Satan knows how to use Scripture. He even tried to use Scripture against Jesus. And it can become relentless. So I want to point this out, that satanic attacks come at us, and it can hang around for a little while. Notice another thing, and it's this. It is motivated by greed and self-interest. Now, Satan is motivated because he hates Christ and he hates God, and he wants to take as many people with him to the lake of fire, and he wants to destroy as many people's lives. Jesus said that Satan is a thief. He comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. He wants to destroy and kill humanity. He wants misery loves company, and that's what he wants. But when he is leading people, they are led by the self-interest, greed. So when Paul, we're not going to spend that much time on this, and we're going to come back to what he said about Jesus, but when Paul cast out this demon out of this woman, their use of her, she became useless to them. Now, we don't know here, but perhaps she became a Christian. But here's the thing. It's obvious that she was no longer being controlled by demonic forces. And their livelihood with her was coming to an end. And it's often motivated. Satan will take the self-interest of people, the egocentric behavior of people, and he will use it within them to come after the truth of God's word and to come after Christians. And it's very often motivated by greed. That satanic attack that happened to you at work, that lie that co-worker told about you, it's simple, y'all. It's because they're greedy. They want your job, or they don't want you to succeed, or they have self-interest behind it. And they're motivated by that. And because they were motivated by that, notice what they ended up doing. Satanic opposition many times, or sometimes, is often accompanied by violence and intimidation. It's often accompanied by violence and intimidation. We're not talking about self-defense here. We're talking about absolute assault and attack. There was a lunatic in Washington State this week that went before a city commission or a county commission. And she began to verbally attack them. She began to verbally intimidate them. And then she actually said that it is her goal to see them all murdered. It is her goal to destroy them, to take them off the face of the earth. And she began to make threats. She's looking at multiple felonies. And she's actually, I'm surprised that she was arrested. But because she couldn't get her way legally, she began to create ways of intimidation to try to intimidate these public officials. Now, I have a lot of issues with public officials and how they try to lead. But in this regard, it was accompanied by violence. And it's often accompanied by violence and intimidation. So they laid hands on them. They said they're turning upside down our cities and our Roman customs. And, you know, we don't want to have the Roman hierarchy over us and giving us problems. So they beat them with rods. They stripped them and wore them out. I believe one of the things that we're going to see more and more as we go into these end time days, you know, and however long that might be another 500 years. But I think Christianity is going to see more and more violence perpetrated against it. More and more and more. And we know it's satanic opposition. And the beating they took was to intimidate them. They were thrown in jail, and the concept might be, well, you might get out of jail one day, but just remember this beating you received and shut up and leave us alone and don't ever come back here. But I want you to notice something. I want to end with this. Satanic opposition, and I'm ending with this, but it's actually the beginning of next week's message. And it's this. Satanic opposition is defeated by Jesus Christ and His truth. Notice what Paul did. He didn't get in a shouting match. He got annoyed. And he turned. And in the authority of Christ, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. It may seem for a while that the haters of God are winning here on this earth. It may seem for a while here in our country that, you know, the culture is lost. The rule of law is gone. Our institutions are plagued with demonic ideology. But the way it's defeated by you and I standing on our own two feet spiritually and taking the truth of the Word of God and applying it to those situations. Through prayer, through direct countering error with truth, speaking truth in love, the Bible says, to another. You're struggling with your rebellious teenager as a Christian parent. If you're not careful, and I made this mistake, you will think that it's a physical battle of emotional wills. But in essence, it's a spiritual battle that you and I can calmly navigate through. And it's not to say that by declaring Jesus the Lord of our home, that your teenager is gonna fall in step. But I will tell you that if you'll just stand on the truth of God's Word, you will survive. And that teenager, no matter what direction they go right now, will never forget. Listen, the Word of God does not return void. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, that teenager turned into a warped, ungodly, God-hating 20-something-year-old. Well, they're still living, right? You keep praying for them that the Word of God that you poured into them through Jesus Christ will kick in. And if nothing else, you aren't defeated by the lies of the devil. We're going to see what happens to these men as they're tossed into this cell, into this dungeon, into this innermost part, and their stocks and chains were put on them. And you're going to see how they responded. And you're going to see, as you read just a little bit, of the miraculous things that took place and how through Jesus Christ they were victorious, how singing praises and worshiping God with their bodies hurting as a direct result of the flogging they took for being obedient to Christ. And you're going to see the impact that it had. You don't have to resort to violence You don't have to resort to the wicked schemes of Satan and how the enemy came at you. You defeat this with the truth of God's word, by being on your knees, by worship, and by not letting them change your heart, change your mind, or change your ways. And throughout Christian history, we can see, remember in the Old Testament, the Hebrew young men who were told they must bow down when they hear the sound to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And you can imagine the picture that took place when everybody bowed down and they're the only four standing. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And remember when they were faced with being tossed and thrown into the fiery furnace. It was so hot that the men who opened the doors to the furnace were eviscerated on the spot. And remember what they said to Nebuchadnezzar. We want you to know, king, that we will never bow down to you, because our God will deliver us. And if he doesn't deliver us, know this, O king, that we will not bow down to you and he will deliver us. One way or the other, we will be delivered. And you don't get the last word. And the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. But Jesus said, my words will never pass away. You might be called all kind of names. You might be laughed at, sneered at for believing in the ancient truth, the living truth of the Word of God. But listen, Jesus will have the last word. So satanic opposition will come. But just know whose power you're living with. Just know that. Just know that God will make it clear. Just know that. And listen, when you get to a point that your goal is not to be proven right, your goal is for Jesus to be proven right. Then you can pray for your enemies. Then you can pray for your opposition. Then you can realize that that person that's doing that to you is motivated and inspired by Satan. And then you realize that that person isn't really your enemy. Flesh and blood, we don't do battle against flesh and blood, but we do battle, I believe it's Ephesians 6 that tells us, Ephesians or Galatians, I believe it's Ephesians, that tells us that we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age. And the Bible says, when you've done all to stand, stand therefore. And then it tells us how to put the armor of God on. Satanic opposition is overcome and defeated by Jesus Christ. So we see Paul casting out this demon in this woman. And it stopped that. But then they incurred a beating and arrest, and they were thrown into jail. We're going to look at that next week. And how they overcame that. And the attitude and the spirit that we ought to have when we're going through opposition, persecution. So in closing, no, we are on the winning team. Ultimately, we win. It doesn't matter if they take our lives. You say, well, didn't you lose there? No. Not at all. The Bible says to live is Christ. So while I'm living, I'm here to obey Him. To die, listen to this, to die is gain. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love them. Heaven is an awesome place. And so the worst thing that can happen to you is that through satanic opposition that your life is taken from this earth. But that's the best thing that can happen to you at the same time. There's a pastor in America one time that while he was preaching, this was before all these mass shootings, but it was probably 30 years ago, but a guy pointed a 38 revolver pistol at him while he was preaching. And I guess it's amazing what the Holy Spirit will give you when you need it. You know, man, I'd have been throwing something at that dude, you know, to stop him. But you know what the pastor did? He said, "Wait a minute, sir, wait a minute. You think I'm afraid of you? You're threatening me with eternal life?" Ha, 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 he started laughing. The guy fell on his knees and repented and got saved, and they went to jail. So don't be afraid. You've got the Holy Spirit. You have Jesus. You have the truth of His Word. But don't think it's strange when you start your day tomorrow and you encounter satanic opposition. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the absolute truth of Your Word, and we can base our life and our eternity on that. We thank You for the victory we have in Christ, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, because ultimately Jesus has won. And we belong to Him. Help us to properly deal and to properly understand that satanic opposition comes. It's annoying, it's difficult, it's challenging, and it's frustrating at times. It can hurt, it can be violent, it can ruin our life to some extent. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And we have our victory. And Your Word tells us that we can do all things, not some things, but all things, through Christ who strengthens us. Now, folks, as God has spoken to you today, I want to open the opportunity for you to respond to God in what we call our public invitation to make a public decision. If you've given your heart to Christ, we would like to know about that, and we would like to celebrate with you and get you set up for baptism in the near future. God's leading you to join our church. However God's leading you in that way, respond to Him. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, or you want to pray at this altar, you always have that opportunity. Father, we thank You, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you come.